everybody, and welcome to Speaking of Sustainability, the show where we introduce you to the leaders and change agents making a difference in the sustainability space. I'm your host, Colleen Felicki. After starting my composting business in 2017, I quickly realized that our communities are looking for more ways to be sustainable in their daily lives and to support eco-friendly businesses. I'm so excited to introduce you to some sustainable superheroes as we all look to make our planet a better place for years to come. Hello, everyone. Oh, I love that music. Welcome to Speaking of Sustainability. I'm your host, Colleen Felicki. And I always like to share a sustainable fact before each episode. Today's sustainable fact is reducing landfill waste can reduce air pollution and associated respiratory illnesses such as chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, asthma, and pneumonia. Our goal, keep items out of the landfill, reuse, reduce, recycle, rot. And my guest today does just that. So I'm super, super excited to introduce you to Melissa Torrey. She is soap maker and mayhem slayer. I love that name, of Vellum Street. Her favorite quote, the more value you see in the things you use on a regular basis, by default, the more value you add to your own existence. Love it. And thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, this is wonderful. I can't wait to share your message and for our listeners to and viewers to hear about you. So tell us how you got started making skincare products.
So I was a chef. I used to own a bakery, and I opened my bakery, Cookie Confidential, in 2010. And we were, it was mostly sweets, cookies, cupcakes, things like that. And I was, the reason I started that was because I have a sweet tooth, but I also like to eat locally. So I started baking with locally sourced flour, butter, not sugar, but a lot of our ingredients, and meeting a lot of farmers in the area around Philadelphia. And it was, you know, people would be like, oh, is it healthy cookies? I'm like, it's not healthy. It's still sweet, but you know, our impact is a lot smaller environmentally, but bigger as far as like the local business, mm-hmm. like commerce goes. So I was doing that for 5 years, but prior to that, I had had autoimmune conditions kind of my whole life, like probably starting that I can remember around 8, 9, 10. And it started to get worse as I got older, and I had been to doctors and misdiagnosed with a lot of things. I was misdiagnosed with Lyme disease and Hashimoto and a whole cavalcade of things. And one of the side effects of my autoimmune condition was I had really bad eczema. And I tried everything, steroid creams, every folk remedy I can try, every doctor prescription I could try, and nothing ever really seemed to work. Until my grandmother, who grew up in the hills of North Carolina, told me to use bacon fat. Now, we cooked a lot of, one of our signature treats at the bakery was we did a lot of desserts with bacon before kind of bacon was this huge thing. So I had bacon fat around all the time. And I used it and it worked because, of course, wow. Nana always knows. So
for sure.
I started, you know, just using that. And literally within days, I saw more of an improvement on my skin than I had before. So I had been using that, and I kind of went down a rabbit hole with, like, does anybody know about this? It can't just be my grandmother. And it was something that people used on their skin for ages and ages and ages. Beef fat, pig fat, which is lard, beef fat, tallow. Tallow can be, I don't know, beef, goats, sheep, anything like that. And I, at that point, I was about 2 years into having my bakery, and I just started on the side kind of making my own soap and like a balm to use on my skin, mm-hmm. giving it away to friends. About 3 years into owning my bakery, I realized that wheat was a huge exacerbator of all of my autoimmune conditions. Mm-hmm. And that's literally what I do for a living, is cook with and breathe in wheat all day long. So I was kind of at a weird stuck place. I ended up eventually closing my bakery 5 years in. And it was a shame. We were doing really well. I had been fortunate enough to do a couple of shows on the Cooking Channel. You know, I was on Cupcake Wars and Chopped and all of that like fun stuff. But it was making me sick. There was no way I could get better. Even though I cut it out of my diet, I still I was breathing it in every day.
Right.
So I closed my bakery. I wasn't really sure what I was going to do. And I was still making these skincare products on the side. And at this point, I had kind of built a little bit of a following amongst my friends who had skin issues, who loved my products. And I had a friend who at the time worked for Whole Foods corporate. And they were opening their art museum flagship store at this time. And she asked if I would be interested in selling to them. They were looking for local vendors. I hadn't once thought about making skincare my business. I'm not a skincare kind of girl. I'd never wear makeup. I'm a lot more rugged nature type than skincare type. I would use whatever was around. To back up a little bit, the other reason I started making my own skincare, once I kind of had this light bulb moment of the bacon fat working, was, wait, I've never thought about what I put on my skin. Mm-hmm. About what I eat. I started a whole food business to have treats I wanted that had better ingredients. Mm-hmm. I'll use whatever soap, whatever shampoo. I never thought about it. So I had started, you know, that was another part of me making my own products. When I realized, like, I'm putting all these, if I'm reactive to all of these things, simple might be better.
Sure.
So anyway, I have this friend who worked for Whole Foods, even though I wasn't planning on having a business, she set up an interview for me with them to pitch my product. So I had come up with a friend of mine, a logo and a design and a name of a business within 3 days before I had to go pitch this product.
Is it the same name?
Yes.
Okay.
So name comes from, have you seen Fight Club? The movie Fight Club?
I have not, no.
Okay. Well, are you familiar with it at all?
I am, yeah.
So in the movie Fight Club, Brad Pitt's character has a soap company. And the soap company is called Paper Street Soap Company. So vellum is a type of paper. And it's a type of paper that soap used to be wrapped in back kind of when soap was a commodity that only really royalty and rich people had. Vellum also used to be made of the stomach lining of cows.
Oh, wow. And I didn't know that.
Almost. We make it with cellulose now and it's not anymore, but that's what it was originally made out of. So soap was originally made out of animal fats and vellum paper was originally made out of the stomach lining back when we used all of the parts of all of the things grew. And so that's where the name of the company comes from. That's also where my job title of soap maker Mayhem Slayer comes. Because in Fight Club, there's Project Mayhem, which is them kind of like wrecking the city and wrecking civilization. So that's where all of that comes from.
Love it.
So I went in and I pitched my product to Whole Foods, not having any idea what I was doing. And they fell in love with it. They picked it up. They wanted me to go national. I was like, I literally make this in the kitchen of my 600 square foot apartment. Let's start with one store. Sure. And over the next year, I kind of grew into a couple of stores. And that's when the Amazon takeover happened and things changed drastically. I will forever be thankful to the staff of Whole Foods who originally brought me on because I had no idea. I was a chef. Right. I didn't know there's things with, you know, legalities with labeling and what you can say and what you can't say and what has to be on a package. And they walked me through everything and they were so kind and so helpful.
That's awesome.
And so when the Amazon takeover happened and they either started getting fired or leaving because things were not good, I didn't feel comfortable selling my products there. So I pulled out and I left. And I just started focusing more on small local shops and doing kind of pop-ups. My business was really part-time up until 2020. I started Vellum Street in 2015, and it wasn't until 2020 that I took it full-time.
Wow. Fascinating. I've known you for a while, but did not know that and the story about how the name, your name and everything. So.
A lot of people don't put it, only like once a year, somebody will be like, hey. Did your name come from Fight Club? And I'm like, that's cool when people do get it, but don't feel like you should have because most people don't put two and two together. Fight Club is one of my favorite books ever. I think it gets a really bad rap as this like toxic masculinity kind of like over the top violent movie. And what it really is just kind of a narration on those things and what society is and capitalism. And it's so much deeper than I think people give it credit for. And it truly is one of my favorite books ever. And the movie's incredible as well.
Now I need to see it. So should I read the book first or watch the movie?
I would always say read the book first.
Okay.
But the movie is really good. If you don't want to read the book and you just want to watch the movie, it is very good. It does a good job.
It's Brad Pitt's in that movie, right?
Brad Pitt and Ed Norton.
Okay. Oh, and Ed Norton. All right. Yeah. He's a local guy. All right. So I think like Maryland.
Oh, okay.
Awesome. Good. Well, thank you for sharing that.
My pleasure.
Your story. I want to kind of dive a little bit deeper and ask you, what is something you may feel many people aren't aware of when it comes to sustainability? And I know we have probably talked about this before, but I would love for you to share with our listeners and viewers.
So I think that probably anything that giant companies are trying to sell you as sustainable is not sustainable. I'll start there. If you see any big company, probably anything that's on like I don't want to say anything bad about supermarket chains, but on a large supermarket chain's shelf, most likely it's not actually sustainable, even though they're promoting it as a green product or a sustainable product. And, you know, by this, I mean a lot of things like the, you know, plant-based milks, maybe plant-based foods in general, unless you're actually eating vegetables. And even vegetables, you have to be careful. I don't think what people realize is that once marketing gets involved and dollars get involved, they're going to sell you whatever they can. Food is really important to me. Where it comes from, how it's grown, how the people who grow it are treated, what that growing does to the land. And I don't think, you know, cows and cattle ranching have been vilified as of late as being really, really bad for the environment. And CAFO farming, giant farm operations, can be very bad. But small regenerative agriculture farms are actually very beneficial for the land they're on and the environment they're on. And the same can be true no matter what it is that you're farming. Whether it's cattle, whether it's a tomato, whether it's corn, soy, anything that's a giant monocrop that's kind of a singular thing that's not working with the environment it's in, and as opposed is just kind of creating one vast thing that gets rid of everything else around it, isn't good for the environment. Whereas anything that's a system, an ecosystem,
sure,
kind of mimicking the ecosystem that it's in, is probably going to be beneficial for the environment.
Good to know. That's, you know, I feel like regenerative agriculture is kind of becoming more and more known. And again, like you said, with the animals and, you know, cows are getting a bad rap and things like that. But in the ecosystem, it's not like that. And it you know, all work together.
We forget sometimes that if we're looking at just America in general, it was full of buffalo before the Europeans got here. There was millions and millions of buffalo. You know, are we going to, when people want to blame cows for their methane, are we going to blame the buffalo that were here for thousands and thousands of years for destroying the environment? No, we're not. Yeah. It's what we do with them. It's not the animals. And I think that people, we get easily tricked as humans. We get very easily tricked by marketing and things like that. And when we're told the same message over and over and over again, it's easier to believe, oh, if I make this choice instead of this choice, I'm helping. But I don't think oftentimes we are helping when we make those choices because there's money behind it.
Sure.
Somebody's telling you a story. And I say that about me. I tell people all the time, ask me questions. Don't just believe what I'm saying because I am selling a product and you don't know that I'm selling it because I actually care.
Right.
I could just be selling it because I want your money. Mm-hmm. Now, that is just part of it. I do need money to live in the capitalist world we've created, but I do also care. So I'm happy to answer people's questions and educate a little bit if I can.
That's great. That's good to know. Speaking of your products and educating, I have something right here that I absolutely love.
Fat marshmallow.
Lasts forever and just makes my skin so, so happy. Put it on at night, in the morning. I mean, I do a lot of work outside. My skin is really rough. And
I will say that's actually our old label. So that's how long that's lasted.
Oh, yeah.
Because we've updated our label a little over a year ago. So that jar, you're using it all the time. It lasts a long time.
I will say you get so much for your money with your products. That's that. And your skin smells good. Like, I kind of want to lick it off my skin because it smells like I want to eat it.
That's kind of your tagline on the fat marshmallow is slather it on, try not to lick it off.
Yes. I have tasted it. Oh, so.
I get so many videos of people licking it, of their children licking it, of pictures of them, people telling me they eat it all the time.
Too funny. So tell us about your current offerings and what's next for the brand.
So we do a ton of things. So the other piece of this business is it kind of started with waste product. So like I said, I started using bacon fat because my grandmother recommended it for my eczema, but we also had a ton of it because we were cooking so much bacon. So when I started making things, it was a way to use excess ingredients we had. And like I said, I do have a lot of friends in the restaurant business, and I started talking to them. I had a friend who was a butcher who had a ton of goat fat that he didn't really have much use for. They would use some for sausages and things like that, but everyone I talked to that did any kind of whole animal butchery or animals like that in their restaurant business, they always had all this fat that they didn't have enough of a use for. And I was like, well, it's going to waste. They didn't want to throw it away. Mm-hmm. So it's taking up a ton of space in their walk-ins. So that's kind of, you know, what led me to like, this is a better solution. This is all coming from local farms. I could drive there. I can see how the animals are being raised. There's not a lot of CO2 being released with transporting this. When we look at things like, you know, everybody knows palm oil is bad, but everybody thinks coconut oil is good. Mm-hmm. When it's shown that it's actually just as bad, if not worse, for the environment.
Wow. That
palm oil is. Coconuts, it's the same thing. It's monocrop agriculture. So you're cutting down these swaths of rainforest where a whole ecology of animals and plants and bugs live to just grow coconuts. Mm. Go to, I've been to Thailand, and if you go to these coconut farms, you don't hear anything. There's no other life living there. Sure. It's just coconuts. And then you're shipping these ingredients thousands of miles. They're very heavy. They, you know, it takes a lot of energy and fuel to ship these. And it just, so the more we can use what's here that's close to you and things that would normally be getting thrown away or don't have a use. Like, we use a lot of citrus peels. It's good for your skin, but also a lot of people are throwing them away.
We see them in compost buckets all the time.
Right. Yeah. And while compost is great, I don't want to take things out of your compost.
It's better to use it before it even goes there.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's tons of things, you know, like coffee grounds that have already been brewed, tea leaves that have already been brewed, citrus peels, corn silk. There's every one of our products has, aside from the tallow that's can be considered a waste product, we use a second ingredient, at least one, that would normally be considered a waste product, but that has value in skincare.
So I love about your products immediately attracted me to, I mean, they're fantastic in general overall, but that sustainable piece where they're not throwing out the items, you're reusing them.
Right. And they're good for our skin. They're things that, you know, our ancestors used, no matter where you're from in the world, your ancestors were using things that they had to treat their skin ailments. Mm-hmm. So like potato peels we use in our rosemary chamomile. They used when kids would, potato peels are almost similar to like what like an oatmeal bath will do in a way. It's not exactly the same, but if you have very itchy or dry skin, it's the starches are very soothing. So there was another thing that I learned from my grandmother. The kids got poison ivy. After boiling a bunch of potatoes, they would give the kids the potato water to take a bath in.
Wow.
And it calms down irritation. It's not that none of these things that we're using are going to solve your problems, can help.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of where all of our products have come from too. I'll usually start with an ingredient that either I know is a waste product or someone, you know, I know that as a restaurant will be like, hey, I have a ton of X, blood orange peels, lemon peels, coffee grounds, potato peels. Can you do something with it? And then I'll kind of start backwards and research mm-hmm. that ingredient, see what I can find about it, do some testing on my own, and then develop a new scent or product around that.
Oh, waste. Wow. Fascinating.
So yeah, what's next is, well, I am actually working on something. So when I started, I was using, like I said, bacon fat and lard mm-hmm. mostly. After the first year or two, we kind of transitioned into tallow because it was what I was getting more easily from, I worked with Primal Supply Meats and they're mostly beef. So we did a ton of tallow, and tallow and lard both have different properties for the skin. They're both great, but they kind of do a little bit of different things because their makeup is different. But our original tagline for Vellum Street was, we had two, which is, it's always been the soap you wish your mouth got washed out with, because we use all food grade ingredients. Mm-hmm. And if you're of a certain age, you remember getting your mouth washed out with soap.
Right here.
Same. But also it was lye, lard, love. Now lye is what you need to create soap. Lye mixes with a fat, and a chemical process happens called saponification, and that turns into soap. So if you do the perfect ratio, there's no lye and no fat left once that's made. It's literally a new item. It is now soap. There's no lye or fat left in it. We do something, and a lot of people who make soap do something called super fatting, where you add a little bit more fat than the lye can turn into soap, and it makes it extra moisturizing.
Nice.
And then, so that was the lye, lard, and then love, because we're in Philadelphia, Love Park. Sure. City of Brotherly Love, and you know, who doesn't love using?
Who doesn't love soap? Oh, I mean, right. Handmade soap. Yeah.
So I want to get back to that. So we're actually, I've been working on developing a line of just lard-based products for years now, but it's been hard. It's been ready to go. But we've grown so much since I started doing this full-time in 2020. Our growth has been exponential. Tallow skincare also became really popular during the pandemic for whatever reason. So there's, where before there was maybe two or three companies when I was doing it, now there's literally hundreds, if not thousands, that are now making tallow skincare. But it's done nothing but make people more aware of our product.
Sure.
It's actually great for us that it's, we don't have to, people aren't put off as much by it because they don't understand.
Right.
So we've been so busy and been growing so much the last 2 years that I haven't had time to launch what we're calling hogwash. Because it's made from hogs. So that'll be hopefully this spring.
Fantastic.
Hogwash.
Well, we'll look for it.
Yeah. So it'll be a lot of soap. And then we're going to do like a medicinal balm as well called ointment.
That's fantastic.
So that's our next step.
Good stuff. Oh, I'm so super excited. Can you tell our listeners and viewers where to find your products?
Yeah, so you can always order online at vellumstreet.com. We ship all over the world. We also have a list. There's too many to list, but if you go onto our website under where to find us, it will have all of our upcoming pop-up markets. We do usually at least one a month in the spring and fall and winter. And then it also has a list of stores that carry our products. We have probably 40 or so retailers, mostly in the Philadelphia area, but there's a few all across the country as well.
Good stuff. So vellumstreet.com.
Yes.
And then at vellumstreet on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. That's the best way to keep up with what we're doing.
Well, thank you. And before we get out of here, real quick, let's do our breakdown. What would you say is the biggest misnomer when it comes to sustainable skincare?
That soy-based products or coconut-based products are good for the environment or your skin.
Good one. Okay. Soy-based and coconut products are good for your skin. Thank you so much. I'm so glad that you joined us today, and I'm super excited to share what you have and your products with our listeners and viewers. So stay tuned, keep an eye on Melissa and Vellum Street Soap Company.
Thank you so much, Colleen. It was great to see you today.
Likewise.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for tuning in to another awesome episode of Speaking of Sustainability. Please follow and support our guests as we encourage you to continue doing your part to make a difference in our global community. And don't forget to rate, like, and share. See you next time.